Because we're a people, we weren't deserving. That's, see, His grace is not about earning it. How many know you can't earn God's love? We were undeserving, amen. But God still loved us anyways. God's awesome, amen. How many thank God for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may go ahead and be seated, amen. It's good to be in the house. It's good to see everybody here this morning on this beautiful, cold Sunday morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know that temperature the other day just shifted so fast? It was so beautiful out. And then just in a matter of a couple hours, it just, winter is on its way. Amen. A new season is coming. Amen. But I believe a new spiritual season is coming our way in the church as well. Amen. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene and their family are there in California this weekend. Amen. They went out there for a wedding. So they're out there in California praising God. How many know we got Victor Ivory, like Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie, we're saying our founders. Those were our founders, if anybody don't know, that were on the Thanksgiving message. Amen. They had founded Victory Outreach. Next year is going to be 50 years of ministry. Amen. Victory Outreach started just with a simple church in the ghetto of East Los Angeles. Amen. Reaching out to drug addicts and gang members and prostitutes. And amen. Just hitting the streets, evangelizing, witnessing, showing the love of Jesus to a people that didn't have love. And all 50 years later, now we got hundreds and hundreds of ministries in over 30-some countries all around the world. Amen. God's expanding us. God's growing us. Why? Because this vision that God has given our ministry, Victory Outreach, to reach every inner city of the world, it's not a man thing, it's a God thing. Amen. It was God that birthed Victory Outreach. It's God that's keeping Victory Outreach. And it is God that's going to extend Victory Outreach into the future. Amen. How many just thank God for this vision that we're a part of? Amen. And what God has been doing all over the world. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to minister His word this morning. And I thank God for the opportunity to be a part of this vision that God has given Victory Outreach. Amen. How many know it's awesome being a part of something great and mighty? Amen. And a mighty move of God. Amen. So Pastor asked me to minister and share the word this morning. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to be speaking about Nehemiah here this morning. And I want to talk to you on the topic of vision. We're in a series on vision and purpose, because God has a vision for our lives, and God has a purpose for our lives and for our church, for our families, for our city. I titled this message, Vision, the Path to Spiritual Renewal. Vision, the Path to Spiritual Renewal. How many need a fresh spiritual renewal here this morning? Amen. Maybe you've walked in, you've come here this morning, and you feel dried out. You feel stressed out, right? Maybe just by the pressures of life. Amen. Or maybe you're even doing really good this morning. How many know God has a little bit more? God wants to renew us and revive us here this morning. But how do we get there? And that's what I'm going to be speaking about this morning, that it's really vision. Vision is the key. Vision is the path, so to speak, in order for us to be spiritually renewed and rejuvenated within our lives. Because how many know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I ask that question where maybe we feel dry, or we're just struggling, or maybe we just kind of feel like we're just going against the grain a little bit, and we start asking God, okay, God, how, you know, God, I need a fresh touch. God, I need something new within inside of my life, amen. And we look to this avenue and that avenue. Maybe we try to pray a little bit. We try to, you know, get into the word a little bit. And, you know, sometimes we still feel dry, right? Even after prayer. How many know, like, you know, if you ask somebody, Victor Outreach, what is the answer? They'll say what? Prayer and word, right? You know, that's what they always say. But sometimes, amen, it takes a little bit more. Amen, for God to renew us. And that's what I want to speak to about this morning. A vision that God brought in the book of Nehemiah that parallels with us today. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole story of Nehemiah. I'm basically going to just read a few scriptures, going to summarize a little bit. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broke down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again this morning. We thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would just minister to us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate your word to us here this morning. Envision us and renew us afresh with your word here this morning, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way, that it would be you that speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. We all say, amen. Here, Nehemiah, a man of God, a simple man, amen. Nehemiah wasn't a prophet or a king. Amen. The Bible says he was cupbearer to the king. He had basically just a normal job. But here, Nehemiah is in exile. He's not in his home country of Judah. He's not in Jerusalem. He's still in exile. Amen. As the people of God were exiled to Babylon. Because of their disobedience, the Bible even goes on to say, because really ultimately because of their unbelief in God's promises, amen, that led to their disobedience, that led them to exile, amen. So the Babylonians came in and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple of God, the worship of God, and they exiled the people of God. But many years later, you know, Jeremiah prophesied that it would only last 70 years. The people were allowed to return to their homeland and to rebuild. And once again, to worship God. Their punishment was over, so to speak. And so many people returned to Jerusalem. And even under the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they even rebuilt the temple. They had rebuilt the temple and restored worship. So the temple was rebuilt. But here, even though the people were allowed to go back, they were allowed to rebuild. The temple was rebuilt. Nehemiah was still in exile. And one of the brothers, the Bible says here, came from Judah. And he began to question them. He was concerned. So how's everything going over there in Jerusalem? They didn't have the internet and Facebook and everything we have today to keep them up to date. And he questioned them about Jerusalem. And verse 3, the Bible says, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. What he was saying is that, even though their punishment was over and they were free to once again serve God and rebuild their nation, they were still in trouble. The walls were broken down. If they were to walk around Jerusalem, it was still a place when you just walk around, you would see the disgrace on people's faces. You would see buildings broken down. You would see, even later on in Nehemiah, it says that there were many, many abandoned houses there in the city of Jerusalem because it once was very populated, but now nobody wanted to live there. It was a desolate place. Nobody wanted to live there. It was like the inner city. Broken down houses, boarded up houses. There was no wall. The wall was all broken down and burned with fire. And the gates and the bricks and the stone was still there. They didn't clean it up. It was still there. And you could still see the evidence of the fire of many years earlier. See, the physical condition of Jerusalem at the time, it was like parallel to the spiritual condition of Israel at the time. Just as the walls were broken down and you look at the city and it was just kind of beat up and burned with fire and abandoned houses, that's how the spiritual condition of the people of God was taking place as well. And not always, but many times there's a link between what you see in the physical and what's taking place in the spiritual. Even in our cities around the world, you see certain neighborhoods that are broken down, right? That you can see the evidence, and many, many times there's a spiritual reason behind that. So even though Israel was allowed to reestablish worship, their hearts were still far from God. They were still, even though they were so-called free, they were still oppressed by their enemies. They still felt oppressed. They were still a disgrace to the nations. Nobody was saying, oh, look at Jerusalem. Wow, you know, look at what God is doing over there. They would talk about it like, man, nobody wants to go over there to Jerusalem. Because of what's happening over there, not in a good way, but in a bad way. But even though they were in this condition, spiritual condition, see, the people of God, they needed a revival. They needed renewal. They needed a touch from God. They needed fresh vision within their lives of who God called them to be. But over the years, they began to grow accustomed and to grow comfortable in the condition that they were in. Even though they weren't doing so good, they began to, you know, how many know, when you're in a condition for such a long time, sometimes you can begin to get used to it. And sometimes you can begin to, you know, you begin to say to yourself, man, this must be my lot in life. When you're in a condition for so long, that's why Jesus, when he went to the pool of Bethesda, and there was a man laying there, and he found out that this man was there for 38 years. He had a condition for 38 years. Jesus said, do you want to get well? And even that man probably began to grow, just you grow to accept it. Or is it just me this morning? How many sometimes you've been in a place or things have been happening in your life? Maybe it's in your health. Something's taking place in your health. And it's been there for so long. In the beginning, you weren't accepting it. You were coming against it and praying against it. In the name of Jesus, I don't receive this health problem. You know, healing in the name of Jesus. You came to the altar for healing. The evangelist laid his hands on you for healing, and you still didn't get healed. And over the years, you grow to accept what the doctors have to say. You just got to live with it. And you stop praying the prayers that you used to pray. You stop believing the promises of God that in the beginning you used to believe. All of a sudden now you grow to accept that health problem. This is just the way it is. I just got to accept it. The doctor said, I just got to deal with it. No longer am I looking for a cure. Now I'm just looking to manage the pain. That's what was taking place in Israel as well. Or maybe something's happening in your marriage or in your family life. Like, it's a condition. And it's been that way for so long, you can't even see anything different. This is just what marriage is all about. This is just what kids do. They're rebellious. This is just what happens. And we grow to accept maybe our wayward kids as being wayward. We accept our marriage in the condition that it's in. That's what was happening in Israel. Even though they were a disgrace, even though they were living in shame and guilt, even though the situation wasn't good, they kind of grew to accept it. They stopped praying prayers of faith, believing God for a miracle. They weren't even praying for revival. But how many know this morning, church, that we can't accept that condition? We got to get back to what God has to say and start believing once again in the promises of God for our lives, for our families, for the inner city, right? For our loved ones. We can't accept these conditions that many of us find ourselves in this morning. We got to go back to the promises of God and start believing again. Start hoping again. What we need is a fresh vision. A fresh vision of what can be and what should be in the name of Jesus. See, the people of God in Jerusalem, they weren't just sitting around pouting about their situation. They were just grew accustomed to it. They were going about their daily business. They were working hard. You see, at this time, they lived in an agricultural society. They had to, you know, farm the land. That's how they provided for themselves. So back in that type of society, if you did not work, you did not eat. It's just this type of society. There was no food stamps, amen, government support. So they were working. They were, you know, working in the fields. But even though they were working hard, but they didn't have a vision for their lives. They were working without hope. Their life was mundane and meaningless and just going through the grind day by day and looking back at the end of the day, just like, man, what did I accomplish today? They lived with little or no expectancy or anticipation of a better future. They weren't looking forward to the promises of God. They were just kind of stuck in their condition. And they grew to accept it. But back in Persia, a man named Nehemiah heard about the condition. And it broke him. And the Bible says that he began to weep and he began to fast and he began to pray before God. And as he was praying for many months. As he was praying in the presence of God, God began to give Nehemiah a vision for his people, a vision for the city of Jerusalem to bring spiritual renewal, to bring fresh hope, fresh vision to the people of God, to remind them of who they were, the people of God. You see, what the people needed was, because they were stuck in their situation, they needed somebody to come in from the outside, a man like Nehemiah, to travel thousands of miles, to come with a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective, to let the people know that, hey, that condition that you're in, that is not of God. That condition that you're in, that's not the plan of God. And how many know that's what we need sometimes? Somebody from outside our situation to come and to remind us, hey, that sickness is not of God. That marriage can get better. And we need somebody to come. And that's why we come to church and we hear the word of God and we get reminded. We get God's perspective on how he sees our situation. That he's got something better for us. That's a great reason to keep coming to church, amen? Because we get a different perspective. We get God's perspective. And that's what Nehemiah had to go and to give them how God saw their situation. See, Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, and he gave the people a vision of what could be. A picture, that's what vision really is, a picture of the future of what can be. But not only a picture of what can be, but a picture of what should be and what will be if they simply believed God and trusted in God. Nehemiah was bringing a vision that would bring significance, that would bring hope back to the people. Purpose back into their lives. How many know just sometimes going through the daily grind, we kind of lose sight of that purpose that God had created us for. We lose sight of that purpose for which God had called us. And we get stuck just going about our business as the people of God. Just going from day to day, making things happen. The people had to be reminded that God didn't call them to be in disgrace, but you're God's people. God has called you to be a light to the nations. God don't want you to be a reproach or in disgrace. He wants you to be the light of the world. So Nehemiah gets this vision from God and he brings it to the people. So he travels to Jerusalem. And after coming there a couple of days, he starts to go and inspect, do an inspection. He inspects the walls. He inspects the situation, everything that's taking place. And then in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah says, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire." I want you to think about that for a second. He comes to their neighborhood and says, you see how messed up this is? You know, they could have got offended. Don't you think we know that we got problems? We don't need you to come over here and tell us we got all these problems. Right? They could have got offended. Who do you think you are? They didn't even know this guy. Who is this guy coming and tell us you got all these problems? But he reminds them. He's reminding them that this life is not normal like this. We're in trouble right now. But then he goes on to say, this is the vision. He says, come. After stating the problem, now he states the solution. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. It amazes me that just all of a sudden, this is how you know it's God, is Nehemiah just tells them one sentence, come, let us start rebuilding the wall. And they're like, okay, let's start rebuilding. You see, it's not like they were standing around with their hands in pocket. They didn't have nothing else to do. They were working, right? They were in their fields bringing in the harvest. So they had to leave, you know, the things that they were doing, and all of a sudden begin to take up their hammer and take up some stones and begin to rebuild with this man that they didn't know. He says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And we will no longer be in disgrace because it's not God's plan. He began to show them a picture of what could be of the glory of Jerusalem being restored. That once again, Israel wouldn't be a disgrace, but it would be the light of the world. And it amazes me that they responded, okay, let us rebuild. So they began the good work. I have here that Nehemiah's vision consisted of three key components that I want to talk about. Even though it's only really a couple sentences, the vision that Nehemiah brought to restore the walls of Jerusalem consisted of three key components. Number one, it was a vision to restore their dignity. A vision to restore their dignity. You see, because the Jews, they lost their dignity. They lost their sense of worth. They lost their sense of self-respect. The Bible says they were living in disgrace. They were living in shame, living in guilt, walking around oppressed by the enemy. They lost their sense of worth and their sense of value. They didn't think that they mattered much. Who were they? They weren't much. Nobodies. Nobody cares. And they began to lose who they were. And so Nehemiah's vision wasn't just about building a wall. That's what I want you to get here this morning. He didn't go there just to build the wall. His vision entailed bringing dignity back to the people of God. To let God's people know that God's plan is for not them to walk in shame and live in shame and guilt and condemnation, but that they were of great, great worth in God's sight. Great worth in God's sight. They weren't feeling like they were of great worth. They felt abandoned. Anybody ever felt abandoned? Anybody ever feel like you don't know if you're worth that much to God? You're not sure if God really cares about your situation? I want to come to remind you, just as Nehemiah reminded the people of God, that you, my friend, are of great worth in God's sight. You have value. Great, great value in the sight of God. You see, your worth and your value is not based upon what you did in the past. It's not based on your conduct. It's not based on what you did today, yesterday. It's not based on what you do. Your worth. And sometimes, how many know, we get caught up in that. We think that our worth is determined by how obedient we are. Our value is determined by our obedience, but it's not. Your value and your worth is determined by who created you. It's determined by who you belong to. God created us. The Bible says that he formed us while we were yet in the womb. He formed us and he fashioned us. He put time into creating us. We weren't an accident. Some might think you've been an accident. You weren't. You were in the mind of God. And that's why a lot of people are out there in the streets here this morning That's why women are selling their bodies on the streets, because they don't think they're worth very much. They think they're worth $20. But in the sight of God, see, those are God's daughters, right? They lost their dignity. How many here lost your dignity in the world, right? God's come to restore that. The vision that God has for our lives is to restore our dignity. That every day that we wake up with a sense that God cares about me, I am worth much in God's sight. I am valuable to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, New Testament, the Bible says, but you, speaking to you this morning, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are God's special possession. See, God don't need money and buildings and things. That's not what God's concerned about. God is concerned about you, people, the lost, the bound, amen, those that he created. Those are God's special possession. The Bible even says in Ephesians that we are God's inheritance. It says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. God has restored our dignity. Yeah, you might not have been a people at one time, but today, sitting in church this morning, if you know Jesus, amen, you are a child of God. You have dignity this morning. See, that's actually one of the reasons why in Victory Outreach, amen, we still believe in dressing up on Sundays. You can come as you are, praise the Lord. But once God starts doing the work, we always say, why do I got to wear a tie? Because, brother, at one time, you wouldn't be wearing a tie, right? I mean, how many of us would be in a tie, in a suit, looking nice on a Sunday morning? I don't know about you, but I'd be still sleeping on Sunday mornings from Saturday night. See, we believe in looking nice because what we're saying to ourselves and to others is that I have dignity today. I got work today, right? That's why we still believe in that, right? We got work. That's why Jesus came. When you look at Jesus throughout the Gospels, he went about restoring dignity to people. People that were sick for many years, people that were diseased and were outcasted by society, lost their dignity, lost their sense of worth, lost their sense of value to society, to their family, to their friends. And Jesus says, be healed. And he wasn't just healing them of sickness. What he was doing was restoring their dignity, restoring their sense of worth, that they can go back to their families now. They could go back to work now. Casting out demons. You remember the story in the New Testament where somebody came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I am willing. And he reached out his hand and touched him. And he got healed. He's willing this morning to restore your dignity. Just let him reach out and touch you this morning. So Nehemiah's vision was a vision to restore their dignity and sense of worth. Secondly, Nehemiah's vision was a vision to restore their sense of belonging. Their sense of belonging. See, the Israelites had lost their sense of belonging. They forgot who they were. They lost sight of the fact that they were God's chosen people. And they weren't living like children of the King of Kings. But they were living like beggars. They were living like victims. See, children of the King aren't victims. How many know in our society today, we live in a society, amen, that everybody wants to play the victim card. It's not my fault, amen. I don't have a job because there's no jobs in America. Really? I don't have a job because it's all Trump's fault. I can't do this because somebody else did this to me. My employer or my family, or I am the way I am because all these things that happened to me, and we tend to play the victim card. Our society is plagued with the victim mentality. I don't know about you, though, but when I read the Bible and the promises of God, I don't think God created us. And think about it. We are children of God Almighty, the King of all kings. He is the ruler over all rulers. And we are his special possession, his special sons, his special daughters. So does it really honor God that we walk around like, oh, poor me. It's all because of this, and it's all because of that. It's that person's fault, and that person's fault, and I'm just a victim, Mayor. I'm just a victim. You got to feel sorry for me and, you know, give me things and give me, you know. Does that sound like walking in faith, walking in power, you know, like the song we sing? Does that sound like a children of the King? I mean, no, we don't got to walk around like victims. We're children of the King. That entitles us to certain things. But not when we walk around like victims. That's what was happening. They had lost sight of their sense of belonging. They forgot who they were. And many times we can forget on a daily basis of who we are and who we belong to. That we belong to Jesus. We are his children. So I don't have to walk around like a victim. The Bible says I'm an overcomer. Just like Jesus overcame, I'm an overcomer. The Bible says just as Jesus is the light of the world, I am the light of the world. The Bible says that we have victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say I got the victory, but under these circumstances. It says, no, we got the victory, but many times we're not walking in the victory. It's time to reclaim the promises of God and once again take hold of the victory that is rightfully ours because we're children of God. Victory is your allotment. It's your inheritance. It's your possession. It is rightfully yours because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus won the victory for us. So you don't got to earn the victory. You don't got to fight for the victory. Amen. Jesus already fought the good fight. He fought for the victory on the cross, and he won. He won. Sometimes we forget Jesus won. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil. He defeated, amen, anything that could come against us. So remember who you belong to. 1 John 3:1. The Bible says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, Now we are children of God. He's repeating himself. John's repeating himself. He's trying to get it into the people. You are children of God. You are children of God. Children of God. Children of God. How many know sometimes we need to be reminded of who we belong to? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We belong to Jesus. You got to tell yourself that. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to sin. You don't belong to the enemy no more. He don't have no right over your life. So when that temptation comes your way, you got to stand up and say, I belong to Jesus. I don't have to give in to this. I got the victory. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to walk like a child of the King. I'm going to live like a child of the King. Because I belong to Jesus. The people in Nehemiah's day in Jerusalem needed to be reminded of who they were. They weren't just some nation, you know, just in the corner on the side that nobody paid attention to. Those were God's special people. You got to know to whom you belong. You've been bought with the price, the Bible says. We don't even belong. This is a heavy one. We don't even belong to ourselves. Sometimes we think you know, this is my life. I'm going to choose how I want to live, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, you must need to get saved, because Jesus says you're not your own. You've been bought at a price. We belong to Jesus. And sometimes, you know, see, when we came to Jesus, many of us had nothing. We were living in disgrace. We were living in shame. We had nothing to bring to Jesus but pain and hurt and struggle. And we gave it to him, and he started to heal us. He saved us. He raised us up, right? He started to clean us up. All of a sudden, we got dignity back now in our lives, and we no longer do the things that we used to do. Now we can actually keep a job, right, and make money legitimately, right? And we don't have to, you know, be on the sneak all the time. And God starts restoring us. And all of a sudden, many times it's in that place where we tend to take our lives back and say, okay, thank you, Jesus, for cleaning me up. I got it from here. I got it from here, Jesus. I can work this job. And so we stop praying and we stop living in dependency of God. See, in the beginning, man, we cried out, God, I need you, God. I'm nothing without you, God. But now God starts doing some things and cleaning us up. And now we feel, okay, I don't need to pray today. I'm good. I don't need it. I can miss it. I can miss church. That's fine. It's all good. I got this. I got this. And we take our lives back thinking that we belong to ourselves. And when somebody comes in, like Pastor Charlie comes in and says, hey, you know, we say, hey, don't be telling me what to do. This is my life, my decisions. You see, when you came to Jesus, you surrendered your right to choose. You surrendered your life. You surrendered your rights. See, Christians don't want to hear this today. Is this Victory Outreach or the church around the corner? Can I preach this morning? When you surrender your life to Jesus, you surrender your right to choose where you go, whom you marry, what you do. Amen. Now it's Jesus leading and directing our lives. Bible says, be led by the Holy Spirit. He is the one in control now. He is the one leading now. He is the one that dictates whom we marry. He is the one that dictates what city we live in. He is the one that dictates, amen, what the decisions that we make from day to day. But many times we leave Jesus out of our decision making. And we try to figure it out. and we try to figure it out, and we try to rack our brains, and we stress ourselves out, and we think we're in control until the wheels fall off and we crash, and we realize we never had much control at all. See, some of us here, you might have taken back your life, and you need to surrender it all over again. At one time, you were willing to go to the nations for Jesus. You said, "Here am I, Lord, send me to the nations. Send me to Africa. Send me to Panama. Send me to Colombia." And now you're like, "I'm good. I don't think I want to go over there because it's just craziness happening over there." And we forget that it's not our life anymore. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm a dead man. But Christ lives in me." I'm kind of straying from the message, but that's okay. He says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." "I no longer live" means I don't make the plans, I don't make the decisions, I don't dictate. I'm dead. I died with Christ. It is Christ that lives in me now. He's my controller. He's my master. He's the one that leads me and guides me. And I know he ain't going to lead me to the valley, you know, of dry bones. Amen. Lead me beside streams of living water. Some of you got to give your life back to Jesus. You're a Christian? Yes. You're saved? Yes. But you've taken the reins back in your life. And you got to let go. You belong to Jesus. Amen? So it was a vision to restore our sense of belonging. Thirdly, it was a vision to restore their destiny. Their destiny. The people had lost their sense of destiny. They had no vision for the future of what could become. They lost sight of the call of God to be a light to the nations, the people there in Jerusalem. They lost sight of the call of God. They lost sight of their destiny, of whom God called them to be. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." So if you want God's plans to be revealed for you, look what he says. God says, "I know the plans I got for you." God has plans for you. His plans for you were established before you were born. The Bible says that before we were born, our days were already numbered in God's sight. God already has a specific plan for your life. The only way to get God to reveal his plan to your life and my life is we got to surrender our plans. Many times we come with our plans. Guys come into the home with a plan. A 30-day plan, a 60-day plan, right? You got to surrender your plans and allow Jesus to reveal his plan. Because it says that, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, to restore your destiny." You got to trust that God is going to lead you to a good place. In Isaiah 49:1-6, it says, "Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me." Maybe it's good to wake up in the morning and say, "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name." Verse 3, it says, "He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.'" Skip to verse 6. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." God had a plan for the nation of Israel, not to live in disgrace and broken down rubble in Jerusalem, but he called them to be a light to the nations. He called them to be the splendor of the earth. Amen. God has called us, the people of God, to be a light of the world, to be a light to the nations. He wants to restore your destiny. He wants to restore your sense of calling, that God has a hope for you. God has a future in mind for you. He has a great plan for your life. Allow his plan to come to pass by surrendering your plan. See, these 3 points you can see in Nehemiah's vision that God was doing this work. When you read the book of Nehemiah, I didn't really go into it. But read the book of Nehemiah and you see God restoring their destiny, their dignity and their belonging and their destiny to become the nation that God called them to be. This is actually a part of Victory Outreach International mission statement. I want to encourage you to look up, what is our vision in Victory Outreach? What is our mission? One part of the vision or of our mission statement in Victory Outreach, it's a sentence that says this: Victory Outreach inspires and instills within people the desire to fulfill their potential in life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. That is our mission in Victory Outreach: to restore dignity to those that have none, to restore belonging to those that have no belonging. Not only that they are children of God, but now, you see, in Victory Outreach, we believe that we are family. Not only do you belong to God, but now you have a family. You might not have had a family out there in the world, but you have a family here today in Victory Outreach, amen, that we are called brothers and we are called your sisters, and we are here for you. And when you go to any Victory Outreach around the world, amen, you still get that sense. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Africa, in Nigeria, and we have a Victory Outreach there. They're praising God and worshiping, and I felt like I belonged. Amen. In Africa, you could get that sense that we were one family. We have belonging today. We have worth today. And we got a destiny, amen? We're here to restore destiny. We're here to restore, amen, callings upon people's lives, amen? The Bible says God's call and his gifts are irrevocable. He don't take it back. Say amen. So no matter how much you messed up, God's call is still waiting for you. That's why in Victory Outreach, we preach about the calling of God. This is what we believe in Victory Outreach. This is our purpose. This is our mission statement: to bring spiritual renewal to those that need it, to bring revival to the inner cities of the world. The Clifford World Conference, amen. Pastor Sonny says, there's a revival that God wants to bring through our ministry, through us, to restore dignity, belonging, and destiny to the treasures out of darkness. It's a great vision. But how was this vision, how was Nehemiah going to place this vision within his people? He said, come, let us rebuild the wall so that we will no longer be in disgrace. And the people agreed. They said, let's rebuild. And the Bible says, so they began the good work. You know how to bring spiritual renewal to our lives? Might not make total sense, but it does, according to Nehemiah, by getting to work on the vision that God has for our lives. I have a quote here from a book from Andy Stanley and a book called Visionary. He says, when the inhabitants of Jerusalem rolled up their sleeves and went to work on the wall, God went to work on their hearts. Rebuilding the wall was the beginning of a spiritual breakthrough in Israel. By taking hold of the vision, they were forced to loosen their grip on their treasure, their time, and their self-reliance. As they began to work on the wall and began to build a physical wall, God began to work on their hearts. They took hold of the vision that God had for their lives. And they didn't have time to hold on to the things of the world, their treasure. They didn't have time to hold on to their time. They didn't have time to hold on to bitterness and hold on to grudges and hold on to disappointments and hold on to failures, amen. Why? Because they had to let those things go because they were busy, amen, fulfilling the vision of God. They were putting their hands to the plow, and both hands to the plow were needed to build the wall, amen. And my friend, this morning, God has a vision for us, Victory Outreach, to reach this inner city of Milwaukee, amen. But many times we're held back by the things of life. We're held back, amen, by our own struggles. But the answer to renewal here this morning is to begin to pick up our hammer, to begin to pick up those stones, and begin to build for the kingdom of God. Begin to take hold of the vision that God has given our ministry to reach the treasures out of darkness in the inner cities of the world. Take hold of that vision. Begin working towards that vision. Begin applying yourself to the vision, and you ain't got time for none of the devil's lies. You ain't got time to sit around and gossip. You ain't got time to sit around and complain and grumble why this ain't happening, why did Trump got to get a president, and I'm going to stop and shout and pout and riot and all this kind of stuff. You ain't got time for that when you're fulfilling the vision that God has for us. You ain't got time for that mess. You see, people that are doing that kind of stuff, that are sitting around pouting and, you know, with the election and things, it's because they ain't got no vision for their life. Ain't got no vision. And if that's you, I'm talking to you this morning. Amen. I'm going to preach it how it is this morning. I'm going to tell the truth here this morning. Amen. We got to get a fresh vision into our spirit this morning. God wants to raise us up. I believe it's time. The time is now to begin to get busy doing the work of God. And as we get busy doing the work of God, see, many times we say, Pastor, I can't do that. I need to work on my problems first before I can get involved in the church. I need to work on all my issues first before I can really put my ass to the plow fulfilling the vision. Amen. Before I can, you know, take Vetti and, you know, become a minister and, you know, fulfill God's plan. I really need to just take care of this business right here. But God says through Nehemiah, no, the answer to your spiritual renewal, you take care of God's business. You put your hand to the plow. He's going to work all that stuff out. Don't worry about it. So the answer to breakthrough this morning is to get busy building the wall. Get busy building the house of God. Take hold of the vision with both hands. And you ain't got no hands left to hang on to all that bitterness and resentment and all that kind of stuff. Amen. You ain't got time for all that criticism in the church, right? You ain't got time for all that stuff because your hands are to the plow. Do you got vision this morning? I want to let you know you're a part of a ministry, Victory Outreach. We are a vision-driven ministry. Put your hands to the plow of the vision of Victory Outreach. Begin reaching souls. Reach treasures out of darkness. Start serving in the children's ministry. Start serving in the usher ministry. Amen. Start coming to worship practice by faith that God's going to raise you up to be a singer, even though you might not be able to sing right now. Amen. You believe God for a miracle. Amen. Start doing something. Build up a stone somewhere and begin to build your section of the wall. And God is going to give you a spiritual breakthrough just as he did Israel. God wants to bring breakthrough this morning, amen, as your worship team makes their way. You see, when we go after God's vision, the vision that God has given us as a ministry, It's going to strip us of all self-sufficiency because it's a vision so big. It's too much for us. And it strips us of self-sufficiency, and it creates in us a God dependency. We need God to fulfill the vision, to fulfill his plan. Now, if we're just going about our business, you know, just going to work, coming home, paying bills, we could do that around. We don't need God. We could be self-sufficient. But in Victory Outreach, we don't believe in creating a bunch of self-sufficient people. I mean, even that would be a miracle in Victory Outreach. I mean, come on, right? We couldn't even take care of ourselves. But we believe in creating a God dependency. We can never lose sight that we need God. You see, many today are not even attempting anything of significance. They're not attempting anything that requires God's help. They're not stepping out of faith in an area into the impossible that they need God. So they remain in self-sufficiency with a belief that they got to make everything happen. I'm just going to make it happen, make it happen, make it happen, make it happen. But Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened from doing it your way, weary and burdened by trying to make it happen on your own." And he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my plan upon you, my vision for your life, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Many in ministry don't feel like the burden is light. It feels heavy. The reason why it's heavy is because we're trying to carry it when we weren't meant to carry it. We were meant to release it to the Lord and allow the Lord to carry it. We just got to take on his burden. I have also that going after God's vision will always draw criticism. Many get frustrated. Many get discouraged. But I want to encourage you this morning to don't give up. Keep your hands to the plow. Keep doing the good work. Because Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." That work that God began in you, he's going to complete it. He's going to make you into that man of God. Make you into that woman of God. If you trust him. If you release control and allow his plan to come to pass in your life. Let's stand here this morning. God wants to bring spiritual renewal here this morning. God needs some labors. There's some walls that need to be built. There's some ministries that need to be built. There's some souls that need to be saved. There's some sicknesses that need to be healed. There's some demons that need to be cast out. There's some cities that need to be taken. God's looking for some men and some women and youth that are willing to roll up their sleeves and put both hands on the vision and start doing the good work. And as we start doing that, God's going to bring spiritual renewal to our hearts. And he's going to start giving us that breakthrough that we've been longing for all these years. I believe God wants to give some breakthroughs here this morning. See, when Nehemiah cast the vision, the people responded. They said, "Amen, let us rebuild." God is looking for a response here this morning from your life and my life. Let's respond this morning. I'm going to open up the altars as they begin to sing the song.